Welcome to the Should've Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Kev O'Neill of the Odds Breakers will join us. We will go over all four college football playoff games, some bowl games he likes, look ahead to the NFL card this week. It's a tough week. It's always tough in the final week to pick games and kind of parse through motivation, information, who might play, who might not. There's a few games that are straightforward. There's a whole lot more that are not, and just not a lot on the line. And Kev, if you remember, back in, boy, maybe October, late September, he came on here and he gave out Stafford 10-1 to win the MVP, which I don't know if it's going to get home, but regardless, looking back, that was a hell of a bet, hell of a number. I think it was 10-1, might have even been a little bit higher. And I will get to my thoughts here on the college football playoff, but just quickly on Stafford, I mean, it was very reminiscent, if you remember 2 years ago, where Purdy was a heavy odds-on favorite to win MVP. Christmas night against Baltimore, he completely falls apart, throws a million interceptions, and it was too late, and he couldn't recover, and it was one of those years where there was really no legitimate MVP. Lamar Jackson's stats weren't great, and he kind of won it by default. I feel like there's a lot of similarities this year where, hey, if you're going to have a bad game, if you're going to have a stinker, first of all, you want to get out of the way earlier, not in a position where you don't have time if you're Stafford, and who knows if they'll play in week 18, and that's something I'll get to in a minute. You don't have time to get that taste out of voters' mouths, get that bad taste out of their mouth. If this happened 3 weeks ago, you know what? You could play two or three good games since, and it's long forgotten. And if you're going to do it too, not only do you want to do it with a few weeks to spare, you want to do it like Sunday, 1 o'clock, when nobody's watching. When you do it on primetime, standalone game, that has an effect where everyone's watching. It just has an amplifying effect. But it's funny, and it's funny to watch those odds keep flipping, keep changing as that Monday night game was going on. If Puka Nacua catches that ball, and boy, that was almost one of the great catches you'll ever see. It just, the ball just jarred loose a little bit at the end, and he had to re-catch it, and by the time he re-caught it, he's out of bounds. Or if the play before, and it should have been pass interference, Rams either kick a field goal or score a game-winning touchdown, and the narrative is so different that Stafford, even in a bad game, leads them from down 21-0. Great rally, great miraculous comeback, and then it's pretty much locked up for Stafford, all based on a call that didn't go their way. So I feel like there's a sentiment to still give it to Stafford, but if they finish with the 6 seed, best they can do is the 5 seed. Last taste in your mouth is a bad game. I guess they'll give it to May by default. I think it's probably closer than the odds indicate right now, where May is like a minus 400 favorite. But we'll see. I mean, if I had to bet anything, I would only take a shot at Stafford. But here's the other wrinkle to this, and I do think there's a betting implication. If the 49ers beat the Seahawks Saturday night, 49ers clinch the 1, Seahawks clinch the 5, the Rams are locked into the 6. McVay has a history of not playing his guys. He's basically the first one that started the trend of, you're not going to see my guys at all in the preseason. Forget a half, forget a quarter. They're not going to see the field. And that's carried over to games where they have been playing for seeding. They could move up in seeding, and they just don't care. As long as it's not a bye, as long as it's not to get in, they just sit their guys. So if San Fran wins and there's a parlay, FanDuel won't let you parlay it. DraftKings, you can parlay San Francisco +1.5. For whatever reason, you can't do the money line with Arizona money line. But if you go San Francisco +1.5, parlay with Arizona on the money line, it's like +630. I think there's a very real chance if San Francisco wins the game, which they have to do. I mean, it's a 50-50 game. That's part of this handicap, that the Rams just shut it down and say, you know what, we'll see you next week. Stafford's an older quarterback. Let's get our guys rest. Let's treat it. This is a bye week. They've done it before. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it's weird to say a line will move 10 points based off one result. But if the Rams are locked in, maybe they play their guys for a series. Maybe they don't play them at all. And maybe the Cardinals either go off as a favorite in that game or are live to win that game. That's a very different game than the 7.5, 7 points spread that is showing right now. So that is a very good correlated parlay for the books that will let you do it. 49ers +1.5 parlayed with the Cardinals on the money line. DraftKings will let you do it. FanDuel won't. Look around the books that'll let you do it. I think that's I don't blame the books that won't let you do it, because that's a very correlated parlay, and that little sequence should not be 7-1, because if one happens, the other one is much, much more likely. So that's one to look for. As far as the college football, I love this time of the year. I love this kind of, I mean, this is a two-day stretch where you get four games in 2 days. They're all really good games. If you remember this time last year, it was the same schedule, one game on New Year's Eve and then the three on New Year's Day. It's kind of replaced the New Year's Day being where you have five, six really good bowl games. You don't have that anymore, but hey, three playoff games with the New Year's Eve playoff game is awesome. And if you remember last year, the late game, same game involving Georgia, involving the Sugar Bowl, same time frame, same everything. That got moved from 8 o'clock Eastern to the next afternoon. It was a weird Thursday afternoon game between Georgia and Notre Dame because of, I guess it was a terrorist attack in New Orleans. They had to move the game back. They couldn't secure the building. So that went, last year was one game on Wednesday night, or one game on New Year's Eve, two games on New Year's, and then the one game on January 2nd. It was 1-2-1 this year, you know, barring anything unfortunate, barring anything unforeseen. It's going to be one game New Year's Eve and then the three on New Year's Day, which makes for a lot of fun. I'll just go in chronological order before we get to Kev. I like Miami here in this first game. I know that wasn't pretty offensively against A&M. I don't trust Cristobal either, but you can make a case. You know what? There was a lot of wins in that game against A&M. That's why they couldn't move the ball. And they are man for man, player for player. They are about as talented as anyone. I keep referencing this. At the end of the season, it was all Miami versus Notre Dame, who deserves to be in. The first month, 6 weeks of the season, it was Miami versus Ohio State. Who's the better team? And it was a fair question. It was a fair argument. It wasn't obvious one way or another. Miami is that loaded with NFL talent. And if you look at the two teams Ohio State, the two real teams Ohio State has played, the two real teams, Texas, they scored 14 points. They were outgained. And Indiana, they scored 10 points. They scored 12 points a game. Miami probably has to create some turnovers and create some short fields, but they did that last game. They can do it again. I like Miami plus the points. I got a feeling Miami is the team that moves on. Alabama, Indiana. I know there's a lot of people, no matter what Indiana has done, there's still some people, and I guess going out of order here because the Oregon-Texas Tech game is the noon Eastern game on New Year's. I'll keep going in order here. Oregon, Texas Tech. I like Oregon. I just think they've been here. They've done that. Even though it was a bad experience last year and they got their teeth absolutely kicked in by Ohio State, I think that experience helps. I think the fact that they've played a much tougher schedule than Texas Tech, I think the fact that they've, you know, the receivers were banged up all year. They've got a lot of games. If you look game by game, a lot of games where the receivers were banged up, a lot of games where they played in bad weather. They're healthy. Weather shouldn't be an issue. I think their offense gets them by here. So I like Oregon minus the 2.5. You know, the money line's not bad. I'd probably rather lay a $1.30 than lay 2.5 just because it should be a close game. And could you see this game being, you know, 28-27? I should probably play that exact final score now that I said it. Could you see this being 28-27, 30-28? I could. So I like Oregon. Prefer the money line, but I think Oregon moves on here. Still skeptical of Texas Tech. And like I was talking about with Alabama, Indiana, there's still a bunch of people, I'm sure, no matter what Indiana does, there's still people who in the back of their mind say, yeah, they're good, but they're Indiana. And I know it's rare to see, wow, I get Bama plus 7. When do I ever get Alabama plus a touchdown? There's a reason you're getting 7. I think if it weren't for the uniforms, this line should be closer to 10. Indiana is loaded. Indiana won at Oregon. Indiana beat Ohio State on a neutral field. Bama, it hasn't looked really good for a while. If Oklahoma doesn't completely just fall apart and, you know, the muffed punt that got returned for a touchdown, the pick six, they're one-dimensional. I mean, this team probably should have been out a long time ago. I just think they're one-dimensional. I think they're limited. And I know the uniforms make it tricky where, boy, I get Bama plus 7. I get Indiana in the role of the favorite lane 7. That doesn't feel right. I think Indiana wins the game. Keep this in mind, too. This is the time of the year with standalone games. The money line can be cheap on these favorites where you get a 7-point favorite like Indiana, minus 220, minus 230 on the money line. That's pretty cheap. I know people don't want to lay more than 2 to win a dollar, just the psychological nature of it. If I'm going to bet a dollar, I want to win a dollar. I don't want to bet $2.30 to win a dollar. That doesn't seem right. But I do think Indiana wins the game. I think Indiana is just more complete, and they are – it's weird to say a team that's number one and undefeated is underrated, but I do think Indiana is maybe undervalued here in this game. So I like Indiana to win the game, and I can't find anyone in the final game here. I can't find anyone that likes Ole Miss. I guess if you're going to make the case for them, these teams played in the regular season. In Georgia, and the line is about what it is now. Now you're playing on a neutral field, and the line still is what it is. So that's a 3.5-point adjustment. That being said, Georgia has gotten better. Georgia's gotten better defensively. You can really pick holes in the Ole Miss schedule. They really picked on the lesser half of the SEC. Kirby Smart with extra time to prepare. I think Georgia rolls here. And they say what you want about Kiffin in terms of the character and, you know, being trustworthy, all those things. He can come off as a snake for sure. He's a pretty good play caller. They had that play calling in the first matchup. They don't have it this time. And they played a pretty damn good game in the first matchup, the first meeting. They led a lot of the game. They led most of the way. And you look up, they still lost the game by 8 points. I think this is very tough for Ole Miss. I think Georgia wins. I wouldn't be shocked if Georgia wins comfortably. So I'll go chalk with Georgia, chalk with Bama, small chalk with Oregon. My upset is Miami. Hopefully we have a good week. That was a rough, because the first two games were pretty good, but the last two games are just a total waste of time with Tulane being in the mix, James Madison being in the mix. You got four games here. I would imagine you get like three really good games. Maybe you get one stinker, but I think this is going to be a really fun, you know, what is this, 24, 28 hours between the time the game starts at 7:30, 8 o'clock New Year's Eve to 8 o'clock the next night, and when that game ends, 11 o'clock. That's like 27 hours. We're basically around the clock college football with a few bowl games sprinkled in. That is a good, good college football day. I'm looking forward to it. So Bama, I like Indiana in that game over Bama. So Indiana, Georgia, Oregon, and Miami with the shocker. The Fighting Chris Fleek is hopefully we can have the Bear on in the next week or two to celebrate and preview the Miami Hurricanes, who have been kind of a dead program the last 20 years. I mean, if you're of a certain age, you remember, and I don't go back to Jimmy Johnson, but just early 2000s, the Ed Reed teams, those dominant teams, they were basically, you know, the Georgia and Bama of a few years ago. That was Miami those years. They've been dead for the past 20 years. They had a lot of lean years. It looked like they were going to once again miss the playoffs, but they're in. It'd be fun to see them in the semifinal, and I think they certainly have a chance here to break through and pull off the upset against Ohio State. I am really looking forward to that game. A lot of pros on both sides of the ball, a lot of pros on both offense and defensive line. Miami's my upset pick. I'm going with chalk in the other three, but Kev O'Neill is coming up. He's got a great feel for these games. He's done well in this podcast before. He's done really well, so excited to talk to Kev. Remember, rate, review, subscribe. Let's talk to Kev. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. One of our favorite guests, one of our more successful guests over the years. He was on, fittingly enough, Indiana a couple years ago to make the playoff. And now look where they are, number one seed, undefeated. Stafford MVP. I don't know if that's going to get home, but he's given out a lot of great bets, a lot of great content on this podcast, and he is back. It is Kev O'Neill, the Oddsbreakers. Kev, happy almost New Year. Happy college football playoff quarterfinals. How's it going, man?
You flatter me too much, Will. I get lucky every once in a while, but thanks for inviting me back on your show. Lots of excitement coming up.
You know, I was going through the schedule of when to have you on. I was thinking about if I had you on before. I was like, I don't want to bring up Stafford MVP. I don't want to jinx it. There's no more jinx anymore. He basically pulled a Brock Purdy on Monday night, where a couple years ago, Purdy gave away the MVP right, I think it was on Christmas night. Did you hedge it all? You gave, that was a great call to get Stafford 10-1, whether it gets home or not. That's still a good call. Did you get out of that at all? And how disappointed were you with that performance Monday night?
Well, it sounded to me like the announcers already gave it to Drake May. Now, you know, the way that they're talking, I mean, they're playing superpower Jets. So I understand why, you know, you should get all those accolades coming on in. I didn't do much. I mean, like I said, the only one I took was Darnold at 50-1. What's funny is I looked at my Circa account and I totally forgot doing this. I threw $50 on Trevor Lawrence. Now that's probably not going to get home, but that'd be a nice 33-1 if that actually did come through. So no, I don't have the most important one in Drake May, but at the same time, I mean, if these voters can actually think about, wow, what does it take to win in the NFC West, and what does it take to win right now in the NFC East, it should be two completely different results. This is literally the easiest schedule in football that I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how easy it is, but we'll get back to the NFL towards the end here, but we have four. I think, I hope awesome college football playoff games. The sport desperately needs it, because that opening weekend of the college football playoff, just waste of time. James Madison and Tulane, those games were just not worth watching. But I think it'll come through this week. I'm excited. New Year's Eve is becoming a nice tradition now. New Year's Eve, you get one game, and then New Year's Day, you get the rest of them. Let's go in chronological order. Miami has taken some money. Ohio State's like a 9.5-point favorite. Total around 42, which is low. I like Miami. It feels like everyone likes Miami. But if you look at the two real teams Ohio State played this year, they scored 24 total points. I get Miami's offense looked bad. I get Ohio State's defense is going to be the best unit on the field. But I think Miami can muck this up. They'll probably have to create some turnovers. But I think Miami can actually not only cover, but maybe steal a 20-17, 23-20 type of game. You agree with that, or you have a different take on this game?
Well, can they win 19-17? Because I like Miami's team total under 19.5. It's a situation where you're right. You said it, that Ohio State's got the best unit on the field. Second in red zone statistically. They're actually number one in red zone if you see what they're really up against here. I think Ohio State is just so stingy down there. But this is a blue blood Ohio State program, man. They're defending their title, and they haven't had a chance to play anyone yet. They're going to come up fired up. And, I mean, let's face it, the coaching advantage really goes to Ohio State. Now, what I will say, Will, my number 7.5, it's not 9.5 where the game is. If you look from a power rating standpoint, I could see Miami's defense showing up strong like they did against Texas A&M. Saying is a little bit rough around the edges right now. Ohio State has not been running the ball as good as they did last year with Judkins and Travion Henderson. But this is why I like the Miami team total under. I think that this game is a low-scoring game, as the total kind of shows. I don't see Miami getting past one touchdown against Ohio State. Now, it would take their defense to win this game and muck it up a little bit. I don't trust laying 9.5. But my favorite play is the team total under 19.5. You have to lay juice at minus 165, but as a baseball bettor and as a UFC bettor, Will, that's nothing new to me.
Yeah, and I would say if you're going to back Ohio State in some form or fashion, instead of laying the 9.5, I do think the team total under for Miami is probably the better way to go, because I don't see a scenario where Ohio State, wins the game 34-24 and they cover, but Miami team total goes over. I think if Miami doesn't cover this game, it's probably an under, and it's where their offense gets suffocated. And I could even see a case where, it's 17-10 where Miami does cover, but their team total goes under. So I'm with you. I think the team total under, that's a unique way to play it. How about Alabama and Indiana? I'm curious what you think, because you got your numbers, you got your power ratings. I think a lot of people will see this and say, wow, this is cheap. I get Alabama plus 6.5, plus 7 points, not cheap, but I get Alabama plus 6.5 or plus 7. I never get that opportunity. There's a reason you're getting that opportunity. I think if you remove the uniforms, this line's probably closer to 8.5. I don't know, 10 might be too high, but I think Indiana's better than Bama. I think they're pretty significantly better. I don't love laying the points either. I don't mind, speaking of juice, of a cheap money line on Indiana, which you get sometimes in these standalone games. But either way, this is Indiana or nothing for me. I think Indiana probably wins the game by 7 to 10 points. So I do like the Hoosiers here. What's your take on the game?
My number's Indiana 8.5. I thought it was lower, before the game came in. But the truth is that Indiana's solid on both sides of the ball. Now, Indiana has a plus 1.67 net yard per play advantage over Alabama. There's a couple problems I have with Indiana, though, in this game. For one, let's face it, they won the Big Ten, man. It was the first time since, my dad was born, something like that. And he's getting up there in years. I mean, the 40s we're talking about. This is it was a massive letdown spot almost in a way for Indiana, or at least an exhale spot. But you lose a little fire when that happens. We all know that. Problem number two is Indiana's played close games with too many opponents. They played too close with Penn State without a quarterback. They played too close to a pretty bad Iowa team that screwed up a fourth down and should have, or a field, went for a field goal. Probably should have figured out a way to win that game. They screwed up against Ohio State, even though Ohio State kind of choked themselves and missed a field goal. If Ohio State's quarterback's knee's not down, that's a touchdown, maybe win that game. And clearly against Oregon, it was a very close game, but they did benefit there and punched Oregon in the mouth where Oregon was weakest. So it's just the pedigree situation is number three, and I'm going to use the pedigree as another play if we get to the Oregon game. I think Alabama's got more pedigree than Indiana does by a little bit, being in this situation more often. So I'm not laying the points, even though my numbers tell me to, Will. I'm just going to enjoy the game, root for the Hoosiers.
How about Oregon, Texas Tech? I think Oregon, I think the experience factor, which is an intangible, favors them, even though they took their lumps last year against Ohio State. They've kind of been in these games for a few years where Texas Tech, this is new territory. I think that's something that favors Oregon. And, you know this from following the Big Ten, watching the Big Ten. They played a bunch of games, I think, against your Badgers, too, where just they had a bunch of receivers that were banged up. The weather was bad. I think their offense is maybe a little bit better than some of their game logs, some of the box scores would indicate. I don't love the idea of laying 2.5 here, but I do think Oregon wins the game. What's your take here?
Well, I mean, you can't take anything from that Wisconsin game, although they did. They were never in danger of losing to Wisconsin in my mind when I was watching that game, but they were in danger of covering it because look at teams in the rain and a downpour. You saw it when Buffalo played the Eagles. Look how bad Buffalo looked for the longest part of that game. Look how bad Eagles were. It's just, you know, it's just the elements. You know, you can't get away from them, and sometimes they work against you. But the truth is that Oregon has the biggest net yards per play out of any team in all college football. And let's look at the strength schedule, man. 17th for Oregon, and they had to play some serious teams in the Big Ten. You know, they had to play Indiana. They had to play Penn State when Penn State was healthy, right? So Oregon played some they played Iowa. They played some tough teams. But Texas Tech, their schedule, and it's not their fault that it ranks 68th on Sagarin. It's a bad schedule. And now I use pedigree to get away from a bet. I'm going to use pedigree to get on a bet, even though my power ratings have Texas Tech minus half point. Oregon has the pedigree because they've been here before. They were here last year and they failed. Texas Tech, this is a first time for this school. They are not going to be ready for that type of a big stage. I like Oregon to win the game. I laid it on the money line.
Georgia, Ole Miss, Georgia laying 6.5. I don't think I've heard anyone pick Ole Miss. You're not going to hear me pick Ole Miss. I just think Ole Miss played a pretty damn good game against Georgia in the middle of the season, and they still lost by 8. And I think Georgia's gotten better. Georgia's gotten better defensively. Kirby Smart with extra time to prepare. I could see if there's one game here that just gets out of hand and you know, it's a 2-3 touchdown game, I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia lays it on Ole Miss here. I don't know that Ole Miss, I think their team total is 25.5. Are they really getting to, you know, 4 touchdowns? I guess you get to 27, but 26 is kind of a dead number. I think this is Georgia in a big way. I'm worried everyone else is on it, but not worried enough to stay off of it myself. I really like Georgia here. I'd be shocked if they didn't win this game. What's your take?
I'll be the first to be on Ole Miss. Well,
ooh.
I got 7, but here's the thing. I want 7. I think this number's off. This in the game is, if I check right, it's not in the state of Georgia where yellow handkerchiefs fly like fireworks on New Year's Eve. This is a different venue in New Orleans, my friends, and Georgia's defense has not been where it was. You know, did they lose that game by 8 points? Yeah, they did. But, dude, that offense was in it the whole time. You know, Georgia played some great ball, don't get me wrong. But, man, this is a team now that wants to stick it to Lane Kiffin. I like that angle more than anything. Nobody's believing in them. Truth is, I think the pressure's more on Georgia after that situation. Ole Miss has such a good offense that they can backdoor anything. And being a 7-point spread in now the state of Louisiana in New Orleans, I really think that Ole Miss could win this game but probably lose by 3. I just think it's too many points. I got Georgia by 3, 3.5. I think that's a perfect line. You know, Georgia, if they didn't rank just 48th in rush EPA, that's where you attack Ole Miss ranking 104th in opponent rush EPA. I'd maybe like Georgia more, but this is not the Georgia Bulldogs team we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and that is the case for Ole Miss, where they played in the middle of the season and the line was 7, and that game was in Georgia. Georgia's got great home field advantage. That's worth, what, maybe 3 points, the full 3, maybe even 3.5. So that would be 10.5 now, and this is, you know, an adjustment, obviously, is what you're seeing. You have upgraded Georgia, but that's a compelling case for Ole Miss. I just have a hard time seeing it, but I'm glad that that somebody's making the case for Ole Miss. And in a weird way, I don't like being against you, but I don't know. It makes me at least feel like – I feel like sometimes, and I'm sure you go through this too, you never want to look at a game and just feel like you're missing something, feel like it's too easy. And there's always two sides to every game. Otherwise, the line wouldn't be what it is.
Absolutely. And it's tough. You have to – if you want to be a great bettor, you have to try to make an argument on both sides. And for me, just this time, even though the coaching favorite goes to, obviously, Georgia – you know, it's a situation where I just think the revenge and the you're not trusting us and nobody believes in us ordeal really sticks its head up. Look, if the spread was three, I'd probably lean Georgia. You know, if it was two, I'd bet Georgia. It's just, it's all number dependent. And being that the books need Ole Miss here, I like my position even more.
Who do you have winning it all?
Gun to the head of Ohio State, but I'm picking Oregon. Okay, I'm picking Oregon because I think it's their year now to make a difference here. I think that Ryan Day has been known to make a few boneheaded mistakes. Now, I do say it's probably a dangerous pick. I'm just picking them based upon the fact that it's the motivation of them losing the way they did to Ohio State last year is going to make them come back. I love Indiana. It's a great story. But if they didn't win the Big Ten championship, maybe I'd feel different. They won Big Ten championship and they played too many close games. The pedigree is more with Ohio State. Georgia and Ohio State have the number one pedigree. Alabama's got number two pedigree. Oregon has really the number three pedigree here as they've been there before. And Oregon and Indiana, I should say. But I think Oregon has the offense to take advantage of this.
This will release on Wednesday, so we'll just leave out the Tuesday games that we're recording. Some of these bowl games are going on right now, man. If it weren't for betting, some of these bowl games would be tough to watch. But from Wednesday on, whether it's Michigan, Texas, Iowa, Vandy, what is one bowl game you really like the number that's currently at?
I like Iowa plus 5.5. I'm not sure where it is. It's been all over the place this morning, dude. I've went on when it was 4.5. I went on a show when it was 5.5. It's back and forth. I like Iowa at 5.5 more. Of course, it's 4.5, but you're at least past the four. Vanderbilt, everyone, now maybe this, I'm hoping that it's not one of my, I just want to get to Pavia type thing situations. But, you know, Iowa played a tough schedule too, and they haven't lost to anybody by 5 or more points. You know, the biggest loss was to Oregon with 5 points, I believe. And, you know, it's a type of play where Ferentz is 12-8-1 ATS in bowl games. His kids show up all the time. Pavia coming in a little too cocky. And let's face it, you know, they didn't make the college football playoffs, which I actually wanted them to make the playoffs, but they didn't make it because they didn't have any big wins. Their best win was against Missouri, really, because Tennessee dropped in the rankings too, right? And you saw Oklahoma, what they did at Tennessee. They beat Missouri, you know, and this is a battered up Missouri team. And we just saw Missouri in their bowl game, didn't we? Didn't look so good to me. I'm really starting to favor the Big Ten in some of these big games, man. Yeah, because I think that they play tough football. They play in the trenches itself. Everyone from Iowa seems to be playing this game. So I'm going to take 5.5 points.
Tough week in NFL. Do you have anything you really like? Do you have a thought here, Ravens Steelers? I'm surprised that one is 3.5. That's obviously the big one. Seahawks 49ers. That line keeps bouncing back between 1.5. And I think whoever the dog is a great teaser leg. But I'll give you the floor. What are one or two or more NFL bets you really like this week?
Well, first of all, the 5 seed is very important in the NFC because you're playing that the teams that don't even belong there, which is Tampa Bay and Carolina. So I think it's really important for the Rams to win that if Seattle wins that game. But if Seattle doesn't win, the Rams could bench everybody. They're locked into the 6 seed. But I also can't trust McVay completely to do that because he's coming off a loss. I don't know what he's going to feel. You know, and that's the whole problem. It's that, you know, you try to cap these motivations, rule of thumb. Well, the teams would rather play spoiler in a lot of situations. Even though the Colts are starting Riley Leonard, they're going to want to win. They're going to want to beat, you know, the Texans. And you also look at the Titans. They're going to want to, you know, spoil it too for the Jaguars, make sure they don't get that 1 seed. Now, we know Denver's getting the 1 seed. You know, I bet Denver now at 11.5 because it's going to go to 14. Harbaugh would be stupid to play any offensive line because it's almost more important to bench them than Herbert, in my opinion. I think he's going to bench that whole team. And Harbaugh's starting to figure that out. I saw some of that last year as well. He's not going to play players in a meaningless game. So I like them. I like the Colts to fight. I think 10.5 is a good number. I think the Texans have offensive problems. As you saw, their offense tends to tighten up in games. You know, just take one mistake for that spread to be easily coverable. I like the Bears at Pick'em because I also think that Dan Campbell would be nuts to play Gibbs. He'd be nuts to play Goff or St. Brown. I think he might, though. He's Dan Campbell, but any ACL or something this late in the season takes you out next year. So I do like the Bears, even with those guys. The Bears are playing much better football than them. And I do like the Niners. I mean, they caught fire. Sure, their defense is not there, but this is a play against Sam Darnold, because Sam Darnold's going to beat up everybody until they get to that big game, and that's where Sam Darnold tends to choke. It's a quarterback handicap on that. So I like the Niners, really. Get the best number you can. There's plus 105s out there. Believe it or not, I could not believe it's going more towards Seattle. Seattle's got a great D, but it's also Sam Darnold. You're betting on Kyle Shanahan at home. You know, I like that situation.
Yeah, I think Seattle's got the better team than San Francisco by a pretty significant margin. And I don't want to ever make my handicap about one thing, but I've seen too much of Darnold in road games, big road games. I kind of got to see it to believe it. I know he exercised the demons a little bit beating the Rams, but that was at home. There was a kick return. I didn't think he was great in that game. I got to see it to believe it with Darnold. And I'm with you, San Francisco. If nothing else, is a teaser leg, but life on the line. I do think, you know, San Francisco's a play. Where are you at with Coach of the Year? Do you think San Francisco wins? Do you think they give it to Shanahan or not necessarily?
For some reason, they never give it to Shanahan. I don't know why. I can't just start saying they will, because every time I bet on Shanahan, they never gave it to him. I still think they give it to Vrabel, which is a huge mistake. What's so funny about this situation with May and Vrabel? Why does all the teams want to play them? You know, the Chargers are cool with the 7th seed. You know, the Bills kind of right now seem kind of cool with the 7. Everyone's like, and the AFC is up completely up the rear. As a matter of fact, if you're going to make a future bet, Will, you take the biggest odds, because I can see every single team being very close. I mean, even the Texans, you know, there's not as much of a home field advantage as there used to be. You know, if I'm getting the biggest number on the Texans, defense seems to kind of show up in the playoffs, I'd be taking the Texans, right? I think the AFC is completely – I've never seen it this much up for grabs, Will. I think in the NFC, that 5 seed is so important. As a Bears fan, even as the 2nd seed, do we want to play the Packers? As a fan, you don't, dude. As a fan, that is one thing, that border war, people talk too much. That's our kryptonite. Even though it might be smarter to play them, you know, I think that 5 seed is huge when it comes to the NFC. And I think if the 5 seed shows up as like the Rams or the Niners or something, I would like to bet them maybe to win at least the NFC and a little bit on the Super Bowl.
Last one, who is in your Super Bowl right now?
Like I said, completely up in the air. I mean, if every single line was the same on every team, I'll just go Buffalo versus the Rams, because I think the Rams looked terrible last night, but that might even prove our number. But, you know, the Rams still have pedigree. They won it 4 with Stafford. And you got to remember that Devontae Adams has not played yet. And I think he was just such a key part of that offense to keep people off Nacua, man. Once he comes back, I think they're live. So I'm definitely not going to take anyone that's too favored, but we'll go Buffalo Bills versus the Rams.
Kev, you're the best man. Happy New Year. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Absolutely. We are at the Odds Breakers. We have all kinds of articles that come out, predictions on every games. We're 17-6 in bowl games, Will. 17-6 for members. And just the podcast itself is like 15-8. So we're having a wonderful bowl season. We also have an NFL Survivor game. We are partnering with Splash Sports, so already over 218 people in that thing. If we get up to 10,000, of course, it'll be a $175,000 payout. But right now, if you'd like to join, feel free to check us out at theoddsbreakers.com, where you'll find the link to get in that. Will, thanks a lot for having me on. Really enjoy the show.
All right, that'll do it. Happy New Year. Rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to Kev O'Neill. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back Friday. See you then.